I am pumped. We are joined by a very good friend of the program. He is a national college football writer for CBSSports.com. He also covers college basketball, which is why he is in Southern California. And can I stress once again, a very good friend of the program, Dennis Dodd in studio. My man, Dennis, so good to see you. How are things?
Jim, it's a pleasure. On camera now, let the clones have their shot at me, and we'll go from there.
My man, you're good. They're way too fixated on Albert Bell. Don't worry about that. You're fine. All right, so you're here in Southern California. You're at Staples Center over the weekend. Let me get right to it. Let me start with Michigan. They blow the doors off Texas A&M Thursday. They hit 14-24 from three-point range. Then they come back on Saturday, Dennis, and they make 4-22, but they still beat Florida State. What's that tell you about this Michigan team?
The thing that's most impressive about Michigan is they can play any way, and that's what struck me when I saw them play. They ran Texas A&M off the floor. You mentioned the 62% shooting. They went from their best shooting game of the season to a first game to 60, you know, contest against Florida State. And their coach, Beilein, called them pit bulls. I call them Gumbies because you can stretch them, you can hit them, you can throw them up against the wall. They'll play any way you want. I think that's why they're one of the most dangerous teams there.
I mean, Dennis, what happened to these guys? These guys, 45 days ago, were getting beaten by Northwestern. Yeah. These guys were beaten by 20 by Nebraska. This was a team that was in fifth place in the conference. How did they get this thing turned around?
2 months ago, they lost, you mentioned it, at Nebraska by 20, and they finished tied for fourth in the Big Ten. They won the Big Ten tournament. I think it's just the group of players that they have. Mo Wagner is a guy not too many people have realizing their potential. He's 6'9", but he's a big physical 6'9". The guards are short, aside from Charles Matthews, the guards are short, but they're quick, and they distribute the ball. It's distributed scoring. So I think John Beilein is one of the best coaches in the country. That's one thing.
John Beilein is a damn good coach. I tweeted that out over the weekend. This guy's incredible, what he does with what he has. Speaking of coaches, this is a big Leonard Hamilton house. I think the guy's an excellent coach. I think he did a very, very good job with the team this season. But what do you make of the way he handled the final seconds of that game?
I think he forgot the score. I think he forgot time and place. And if you see the interview with Dana Jacobson, he kind of mutters, you know, what was the spread when she's pressing him on that. By the way, she did a great job on the interview.
She did.
Yeah,
she did. I agree.
And he goes, what was the spread? I don't think he knew, you know, they were within four with 15 or 10 seconds left. And immediately at the table when I was sitting there after the game was over, I go, why did they back off? You know, it's like, give yourself a chance. I don't think any of us thought they were going to win the game, but you got to give yourself a chance.
Extend the game any way you can.
Right.
You've got a four-point game and 10 seconds left. We've seen crazy, crazy things happen. You foul. So maybe he forgot the score. I'm not really sure what happened there, but you've got a foul. All right, so what about Michigan and Loyola? How does Michigan match up with Loyola?
I think Loyola has to worry about Michigan. Now, that sounds dumb, but Loyola's on a roll, and everybody expects them to, you know, to be the Cinderella. Michigan's bigger. They're faster. If they don't hit their shots, they can smother you with defense. I looked it up, that Jim. They are, if the season ended today, it would be the fourth time in 102 years they'd lead the Big Ten in average defense scoring, in defensive scoring. Wagner has to stay out of foul trouble. Watch Charles Matthews. I've got a piece on the website today about him. He's a Kentucky transfer who averaged 1.7 points and then transferred. And just has blossomed into this kind of silky, smooth guard and their leader. So I just think Michigan can take the game any way they want to take it. And Loyola's going to have to hit shots. I don't think they'll be able to hit shots against that defense.
Dennis Dodd joins us in studio. The fact that they're even here is absolutely amazing. In fact, Dennis, you've covered college sports for a long, long time. From that perspective, whether they win or not on Saturday night, how good of a story are the Ramblers?
Oh, it's the best. I'm Final Four Central. I'm 30 miles from the front door of Allen Fieldhouse and 5 minutes from Clayton Custer's high school. So I'm trying to get home to do some of this. It's a great story. It's with all this FBI investigation and what a cesspool basketball recruiting is. These aren't top 50 players. These are just ballers. You know, Dante Ingram, they had four different players step up really to get to the Final Four late. So it's just the best of the best. Sister Jean, what else are you going to say about her?
I mean, to me, it's almost unfathomable. Like, Porter Moser is an amazing coach. And look, these kids can play. I mentioned this in the Open, Dennis. You cannot fluke your way to the Final Four. You can't luck your way to the Final Four. But really, how do you explain it? A school that small, being where it is, the resources they have, the team that they have, is there a logical explanation as to how they're that good? Is it parity or is it something else?
Well, first of all credit to Doug Elgin, the commissioner of the Missouri Valley, who went and got them after Wichita State left. And when they got him, I was like, wow, bottom of the barrel, Loyola Chicago. That's what I thought. I didn't know anything about them. Well, with Porter Moser there, they can play. They got the three late shots to get to the regional final. Then they took out K-State. You need that. Michigan needed it against Houston. Michigan got outplayed for 39 minutes. I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but you need plays like that. And we knew Clayton Custer could play. He went to Iowa State. In there wasn't a place for him, and he transferred to Loyola Chicago. He was a gym rat when he was in high school. I think won a couple of state championships.
No, there's some pedigree there. And then Richardson gets his 23, and to Clayton Custer's point, bleeping 23 in a game. Are you kidding? All right, so you mentioned you're near Final Four Central. How about Kansas? Now, while you've been covering games out here, you're very familiar, of course, with Kansas basketball and Bill Self. What do you make of the job that he's done this season? In fact, where does this rank historically among the jobs that he's done while there?
It's clearly the best coaching job he's done. And I heard somebody this morning say, well, they started out third in the country. Yeah, they started out third in the country, but they had questions in the post with Azubuike. They lost the National Player of the Year in Frank Mason. Nobody knew how LeGerald Vick or Malik Newman were going to play. In the middle of the season, LeGerald Vick and Malik Newman got benched because of effort, frankly. And Bill Self will tell you that. After they lost at home to Arizona State, giving up 95 points in Allen Fieldhouse to an Arizona State team that I don't know scored 95 against anybody else this year, he called his team soft. And one of the first things he said when he got off the court yesterday was, this isn't a soft team. He wanted to correct himself. So to have all those things come together at the right time, it's just been unbelievable.
All right, so if you have to call your shot right now, who is cutting down the nets come Monday night?
I think Kansas. I thought about it last night because I think they're a more talented version, I guess, of Loyola Chicago. I think they've been touched with the wand. And after I saw what they did to Duke, I thought Duke had that game and kind of gave it away late. I think they're the team. This, you have to think of the good juju, Jim. 10 years ago, same arena, same court or same floor, same city. The play they tied the game on last night with McCaluk's three that tied it late looked strangely like the tying three in 2008 that sent the game into overtime. I think they're kind of blessed right now.
It does seem familiar. It seems familiar, but if you want to talk about who's blessed in divine intervention, you think about Loyola. But then, I'll tell you what, Dan, if you want to talk about a team that might be the best team on the floor right now, or at least on paper, Villanova. I mean, they're absolutely loaded. We know they can shoot the heck out of it. They play defense. Even when their shots are not falling, they can beat you by playing defense. And they've got some pedigree there now. That would be their second title in 3 years if they do it. Now, let me ask you before you go. You had a piece over the weekend, we reported that the possibility of Gonzaga joining the Mountain West. How likely is that? And then what do you make of that as a fit for the Zags and for that conference?
I think it's going to happen. That's just a prediction. I don't have any inside information, but it's like you said, it seems like a good fit. I think it's going to be totally Mark Few's call. You know, if Mark Few thinks, I don't want to leave this conference we've been in for 40 years and leave them in a lurch, it would really hurt the West Coast Conference in terms of RPI and particularly BYU. In their basketball program, but the fit would be great. It's not a money play. It's definitely not a money play as all these other expansions were. This would be an RPI play. It would help Gonzaga's RPI playing in the Mountain West, and it would help the Mountain West having Gonzaga in there as a national power.
Now, Dennis, it's funny. Dave Whalen and I were talking over the weekend about Mark Few. It's hard to imagine because we talk about how we approach the interviews and what we do. Hard to imagine that I ever used to ask him, hey, Mark, would you consider leaving? Hey, Mark, what about that UCLA job? Hey, Mark, what about, on and on and on. I mean, it seems almost absurd that was ever a conversation back in the day.
Right, right. You were asking the wrong question. You said, would you leave the conference, the entire school? But they are a major program. We saw them over the weekend. They've got national type players, and I looked it up. The Mountain West, I think, was ninth in RPI this year. The West Coast was 14th, so there's not that much difference, but you have to understand what would happen if Gonzaga got there. Now maybe they become seventh, and the West Coast is 16th, and then you go, oh, okay, I get it. You know, now Mountain West maybe can get two or three in per year instead of one.
Yeah, he's absolutely the standard bearer of you can't accomplish whatever you want where yes. you are, and you do not need to leave to go. Now, we're talking about conferences. I got to ask you, as long as you're out here, how bad a tournament was this for the Pac-12?
Oh, it was horrible. They had no teams in the round of 32 for the first time since 1986. And you combine that with everything else, the abject failure that has been the Pac-12 network, the 1-8 record in bowls. I mean, at the time I wrote it, I said only United Airlines had a worse week. I mean, it was, and it's not like it's going to
Let's
it's
not gloss over
away.
That, what you just said, Dennis. 1-8 in bowl games, the NCAA tournament they just had. So, I mean, how much of a cause for concern is this on a much larger level for that conference?
Oh, I think it's huge. In an age where we want to define everything, they're doing all they can to separate themselves from being a Power 5 school. I'm talking about perception. You know, that it would be a Power 4 because you have to get to the playoff. They haven't done that. They've done it two of the 4 years and not last year. You know, they're absolutely last in revenue. I mentioned the network. And by the way, the Pacific time zone isn't going away for those late night starts. There's really nothing they can do about that. And people on the East Coast just don't see it. And again, they don't talk about it if they don't see it. So it's not cyclical. It's real.
Yeah, if they don't see it, then did it really happen? Dennis Dodd joins me in studio for a few more moments. No way I let you go without asking you about a little bit of college football. If you're Alabama, how concerned are you about Tua suffering a thumb injury on his throwing hand?
I think it complicates the quarterback battle right now. Now, you know, we thought, okay, Tua's going to win this thing. I think that was the perception after we saw what he did in the championship game. It just becomes a question of what Jalen Hurts does or how he exits. Well, now I don't think he exits after spring practice if he sees that he lost the job because it's a broken finger, according to his dad. And he's going to have to hang on a little bit. Maybe they both stay. I mean, is that a possibility? I don't know. They're going to be okay at quarterback. I think the perception is they're just a little bit better with Tua because he's a better thrower, he's a better runner, and I think he reads defenses better.
All right, so I'm going to maximize my time with you. We're already over a little bit, but you're out here in Southern California. I know you're going to get something else done, and you had a great weekend, but I know you're not leaving without attacking something else. What else is on the agenda?
After going to Javier's last night.
Did you?
Yes.
And?
It was on fire, and it was great.
Did you go Crystal Cove, or did you go Irvine Spectrum?
Crystal Cove and the shrimp enchiladas.
Have you been before?
Oh, several times.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
All right, so you know.
It was great.
Did not disappoint, though.
No, it was great.
Good job, Dennis.
Great.
Good job. All right. What else?
And then... this morning, Pacific time, going out to see JT Daniels at Mater Dei, the projected maybe starter at USC. But beyond that, I'm fascinated by the whole reclassifying thing. He's trying to get his high school career done in 3 years, not 3.5, like some of these guys. I just find that I want somebody to explain it to me, how you do that. Jonte Porter, the basketball player at Missouri, did it, and they call it reclassifying. You got to be smart. You know, you got to put everything in
your
last
semester. What do you make of that? What is the rush, and why are they in a hurry to get that work done?
I think the rush is what the rush is for every player who thinks he can get to the NFL in 3 years. You know, you just want to get there. I think it's consequential, and he has said so, that Sam Darnold left. I think he was going to do it anyway. But I think he's doing it because he can.
Right. And by the way, I say this every single day. Why does anybody do anything? Because they can.
Right.
Dennis Dodd, national college football writer for CBSSports.com. Also covering college basketball, a friend of the show, went to Javier's last night. That's a power move. And joining me right here in studio, Dennis, great to see you. Thank you very much.
Jim, thanks so much.
Crushed it right here in studio.